I'm very happy now to welcome documentary filmmaker Frederick Wiseman. His latest film is called La Danse, and it opens this Friday, the 18th of December, at the Center for Contemporary Arts here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you.
So this is a fascinating 2.5-hour documentary about the Paris Opera Ballet, and it shows so much of what goes into the actual making of a number of different ballets. How did you choose this subject, both the ballet itself and this particular ballet company?
Well, I'm a fan of ballet. I mean, I've been going to the ballet for years, and in 1992 I made another ballet movie about the American Ballet Theater. And the last 7 or 8 years I've been living half to three quarters of the year in Paris in connection with other projects that I've done there. And I just thought it was time to make another ballet movie, mainly because I'm a fan and I like living in Paris. And it's a great dance company.
It's an incredible dance company. You show so many of the rehearsals in the studios of the ballet school, the ballet company, and I thought it was so interesting in how it showed that the magic that you see on stage when you go to the ballet is really hard won. It's constructed. I mean, even the greatest dancers don't necessarily look so good in the early rehearsals.
No, they have to work very, very hard. It's work that's actually started for most of them when they're 6 years old. And they have to keep at it every day. I mean, there are 150 dancers at the Paris Opera Ballet, and every day they go to class in the morning. They have rehearsals in the afternoon. And a goodly number of them dance at night. And the director of the ballet, in one of the scenes in the movie, you may recall, she said a ballet dancer is half nun and half boxer.
I love that.
Yeah, I did too, actually.
You don't use titles or voiceovers or interviews or narrators or any techniques like that that are used in a lot of documentary films. And as a result, the viewer who's never really heard of the Paris Opera Ballet or never seen them or its stars doesn't have any idea who's who. And I kind of like that because you're not spoon-fed what you're supposed to be looking for. So there's a sense of discovery on the part of the viewer.
Exactly. That's exactly my view. It's not who, it's what.
Yeah. And was that your own experience as in making the film, that you were also kind of discovering it as you
exactly.
went along?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, people who know the dance world know who the ballet dancers are. People who don't know the dance world, the fact that you give a name is meaningless. So what the movie asks you to do is to have a look at what you're seeing and make your own judgment about what you're seeing.
You also show us that the ballet is constructed from the work of so many people. So we see the costume makers and the lighting designers and the administrators and the wall painters and everybody, even the people who pick up the trash after the performance. And it felt like a kind of loving and inclusive portrait of the whole system.
As far as I'm concerned, that's exactly what it is. It's a love letter to the Paris Opera Ballet.
That's wonderful. It's just so different. I have to ask you something, because at one point there's a scene of a beekeeper. Mm-hmm. What was his role?
Well, he was a retired technician. He was a stagehand, and he liked to keep bees, and he asked the administrator for permission to keep bees on the roof. And when I heard about it, I thought it would make a nice scene.
Oh, okay. I was thinking maybe there's the wax that is used somehow in the costumes, and I just hadn't put it together or something.
No. In fact, they sell the honey that he collects there in the boutique in the store of the Paris Opera Ballet. It's expensive, but you can buy honey from the Paris Opera Ballet.
So the film also makes the viewer, made me think about the younger and older generations. The speakers in the film are mostly the directors and choreographers who were former dancers, and then the dancers are mostly silent. And
yeah, well, that's the way they were. I mean, during rehearsals, there wasn't much. During rehearsal, people can't talk. I mean, even the people that are hanging around can't talk because it would interfere with the rehearsal. When the rehearsal's over, they take off. I mean, there wasn't much conversation.
Right. I guess what I felt from it, and maybe I think the way you make your films, everybody is going to go home with something different and maybe very different one person to the next. But I really was so struck by the sense that you got of how much work goes into passing knowledge down from one generation to another.
Exactly. That's one of the things the film's about. It's exactly right. Because I, you know, the ballet masters and even some of the choreographers were former star dancers. They, in turn, are passing, Francis Laurent Hilaire, who is the ballet master for a number of the ballets in the film, he was a star dancer at the company for about 25 years. He, in turn, went to the ballet school that's run by the opera. He was taught by stars of another generation. So, you know, within four or five classes of the ballet school, you're already back in the 19th century. And so that there's a continuity of tradition that is inherent in the situation, because most of the dancers, not all of them, but most of them have been to the ballet school of the company, where they have been trained by former dancers at the company, who in their turn, 25 years before, were trained by former dancers at the company.
And it also ends up, at least for me, being about the transience of those few years of strength and beauty that those dancers have before they then take their place as teachers or go on and do other things.
That's exactly what that's exactly the point of view of the film. Because it's what they create is so beautiful, it's transient, and each performance is different, and it's when it works, it's extraordinarily beautiful, and then it's gone.
How long did you spend shooting this film?
12 weeks, and then it took me about 13 months to edit it.
So you had hundreds of hours of footage that you were working with?
130.
Right. When you were editing, what was guiding you? How did you make decisions about what to keep and how to construct the film?
Oh, well, the first thing I do is look at all the rushes. And then I pick the... I edit the rushes, the sequences that interest me. And it's only after I've done all that I begin to work on the structure. Because I never work on the structure in the abstract. I have to, you know, I have to try out how things fit together. And so I usually don't do any work at all on the structure until I'm maybe 6 or 7 months into the editing. And I've edited all the candidate sequences into some kind of usable form. And then I can do the first assembly of the film in 3 or 4 days, because at that point I know the material inside out, and I can make the changes quickly. And then after that, it takes a while. That first version comes out to usually a half an hour or 40 minutes longer than the final version. But what I do when I've got that first assembly is then work on the rhythm, the internal rhythm within a sequence and the external rhythm between the sequences.
The film is so long. It's over 2.5 hours long. I know that you've shown many of your works on PBS. This film, do they edit it down, or is it shown in its entirety?
No, I never let anybody. No, when this film is broadcast on television, it will be shown in exactly the form you saw it.
That's very heartening to know.
No, I don't. Nobody, I don't give permission to anybody to ever cut my film.
What
and I don't cut them.
They
come out at the length they're made, and that's it. You know, it's basically take it or leave it.
You allow us in this film, La Danse, to see the context of the ballet in Paris. And I was thinking, and maybe you can enlighten us more about this since you made a film about ABT, but while some of the issues that dancers and administrators and so on are dealing with would probably be the same in any ballet company in the world, there were also moments where it seemed like the people in the company were really respected as artists in France, in Paris, rather than marginalized and kind of on their own as they are here in the U.S. I wondered if you could comment on that.
I think that's true, because, first of all, the French back up their interest in culture with money. I think 1% of the national budget in France goes for cultural activities. So that the Paris Opera Ballet gets a subsidy every year. It doesn't cover all their costs, because it's dependent on box office too, but they're pretty well the ballet is always sold out, and the theater is over 2,000 seats. Unlike some American ballet companies, they know that they're going to continue from year to year. They're not going. When I was at the ABT, there was, you know, it was an issue how many dances they would have the following year and what their budget would be and whether the foundations or the wealthy donors would come through. And that's true of many American ballet companies because there's very little subsidized support that people can count on over a long period of time. And so that makes an enormous difference in terms of both planning and hiring. Another difference is that the Paris Opera Ballet has a tradition. A company like the ABT, which is a very good dance company, nevertheless gets dancers from all over the world who have all been trained in different ways. Whereas the Paris Opera Ballet, most of the dancers are trained in the school of the Paris Opera Ballet. So those two things make for significant differences in the nature of the company.
The film shows that sense of incredibly hard work and creativity and profound artistic exploration, which pops up in all sorts of moments and all sorts of ways and discipline and focus, and they all pay off. And there's this performance footage. I don't know if it's dress rehearsal, but it's on the stage, or whether it's actual performance footage. And you give us long shots as if we were true audience members.
Mm-hmm. You know, some of it's performance, and some of it's dress rehearsal. But that's performance. Dress rehearsals are where everyone goes full out at the dress rehearsal.
And so you really let us be an audience member sitting in the seats.
Right, but I had a real advantage. I could shoot from the stage. So the perspective, with one or two short exceptions, the perspective is all from the side of the stage. I was really very, very close. And that's why you can hear the footsteps. I mean, the movie wasn't shot from the front row of the theater. The movie was shot from the, most of the performance was shot from the side of the stage. So we were really close to the dancers. And it was a different, the perspective is different than the traditional perspective from the front of the theater.
There's a lot of shooting that happened in rehearsals, and then the artistic director we see many times throughout the film. Did you have to have the cameras rolling for long enough that they kind of overcame self-consciousness of having cameras pointed at them?
No,
or how does that work?
No, for reasons that I don't understand, it was no different with them than anybody else. Any other subject, people don't object to being photographed. And, you know, you can use material from the first 5 minutes you're there. There's no difference in the quality of the material you get in the first 5 minutes or the 56th day.
Interesting. I'm surprised. Although not from the rehearsal point of view, because dancers are used to being watched, so I suppose it doesn't matter whether they're being watched by camera or by audiences.
But I mean, it's equally true of the meetings. That's my experience, not just with the ballet films, but with any film. For reasons that I don't understand, most people, 99.9% of people, don't object to being photographed and just go about their business, which is great. That's what you want.
It is indeed. I wonder if that's the attitude that you bring to it yourself, of somehow not being too in their face. I mean,
well, I try to, you know, not to be aggressive or intrusive. But, you know, I'm right there. And I do what I can to demystify the process. And, I try not to be threatening in any way. And I explain to people who are interested what's going on. But, there are a variety of possible explanations. Narcissism is an explanation. Narcissism, vanity, the fact that I don't present myself in a threatening way. But it's all speculative. I mean, the true answer is I don't really know why. But the fact of the matter is it's never a problem. about people either acting for the camera or refusing to be photographed. For instance, nobody in the course of the ballet movie refused to be photographed. And that's generally, I mean, maybe one or two people in the course of the film and some of the other films have said no, but most, you know, 99.9% of the people just go ahead and do what they're doing.
When you say that, what I think of is, well, they've got nothing to hide. And one of the things that I just really loved and felt curious about was the fact that no matter how hard they're working and no matter how tough the corrections are on the part of the directors and choreographers toward the dancers, there's still this love and respect and support that seems to be there all the time.
Yeah, that was terrific. I mean, they weren't cruel. And they were direct, but they weren't cruel.
Which is not what you think of from some of those old, I mean, even for me as a child, some of those old Russian ballet mistresses who
you're
terrified of.
Yeah, well, they were another cup of tea, I think.
Now, have you shown this film in France?
Yeah, it's playing in France. It opened in France on the 4th of October. It opened at 8 theaters in Paris on the 4th of October, and it was very well received there, and a lot of people are going to see it.
I suppose the audience for a film like this in France would really reflect the greater emphasis that the French give to their arts.
Well, there's a lot of interest in ballet. I mean, the film has done very well in America wherever it's played, which I'm pleased that happened, and. That's been good. And it's opened in Japan, and it's been very, very successful in Japan.
Frederick Wiseman is a documentary filmmaker, and the new film is called La Danse. It's about the Paris Opera Ballet, and it opens this coming Friday at the Santa Fe, at the Center for Contemporary Arts here in Santa Fe. Is there any chance that you will come out here at all?
Unfortunately not. I'm busy trying to finish up another film.
What's your next film about?
It's about boxing.
Ah, so part nun, part boxer.
Right. Well, I've done a monastery already, but I haven't done a convent.
Well, we look forward to that, and thank you so much for being with us on
KSFR.
Thank you
for doing the interview. It was a good one. I appreciate it.
Thanks to you.
All right, bye.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte, broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Santa Fe's Dotfoil Computer Services. Stay tuned for the BBC, local news, and then the jazz experience.